Dregs is in studio, by the way. Darren Dreger's joining us.
We know right now one
the
of those
is,
Alberta
we don't know where
teams.
He is.
I do.
Parts
yeah,
unknown.
I do too, even though he just did a hit with you and he's not back yet.
But. We know one of those Alberta teams is at least going to the conference final. Yeah. That's what we know.
Yeah? Is that a win for you, Dregs, I guess, just as a Canadian hockey fan? Guaranteed conference final, is that enough? Or are you greedy enough to push for more than that?
No, I think that's enough. You know, when you look at the trek of these teams and how they get to that point, you know, I'll admit defeat. I picked the Toronto Maple Leafs to make it to the Eastern Conference Final. So the fact that, you know, at least one Canadian team gets to the Western Conference Final, I think there's an amount of satisfaction from a Canadian hockey perspective. Why are you chuckling? Oh, I knew something.
There he goes.
You know why he's late?
He's back.
I ran here, but, if you're listening to the radio,
he drives.
No, I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm collectively absorbing the blame here. But, you know, if you're watching SportsCenter right now and listening to Overdrive at the same time.
Confusing.
Yeah, it's confusing because there's O-Dog, myself, and Duthie and Pooley on the panel. We kicked that thing around. That puck is square up there in recording that.
It was horrifying. It was. And then it's like, awful. Oh, it's my turn. I'm going to butcher this.
That's the worst.
The worst ever. And then I get in my car because I drive back and forth.
I love that you drive back and forth.
Dude, it's easier. Trust me, it's easier. Okay. And then I hear you bashing me.
Of course. I didn't think I would see you. I'll be honest with you. I thought you'd be back for the picks.
That was out there.
At 6:30, I thought I'd see you for the
picks. That was on the table.
I will say I've never felt more pressure on the panel because I was always in the three hole. And Bobby Mack was beside me. And he, you know, by that time, you're 3.5 minutes into the hit. And if you chew your tongue off, like he...
and he's already done his part,
well,
too.
Either he's done or he's waiting to clean it up. Like, that's
the
thing.
Yeah, you're getting the...
Yeah, you get the slam on the table. It's like, let's go here.
That's the worst.
And by the way, when I agreed, when the grappler reached out and I agreed to do 6:05 Overdrive studio,
you're never doing it again.
I may have received... a text.
How do you think you're doing?
What?
I picked up on that too.
You're never doing that again.
Yeah. I picked up on that too. First time he's looked at the lineup in 10 years. Yeah. Sorry, where was Dreger again?
I'm like, why is he
at 6:05? But I'm at 6:25.
Yeah, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we got the Battle of Alberta going tonight. And there's a clear underdog. Like, Edmonton is the underdog. Like, based on Vegas alone, based on the season.
How much, though, in the line?
I don't think it should be. It's pretty substantial, I think, like, out of Vegas, in terms of, like, what the line is and stuff.
It's interesting.
What you'd find on FanDuel or what have you. But
I just think 97 is a great equalizer.
Yeah, but is 29 the guy who drags it back? Like, if Drysdale's not at 100%, he's not.
Right.
What does that mean for the series?
And he's not 100%.
Right.
No, I mean.
Like, is he capable of playing? Sounds like he'll
play. Yeah, he's going to play, but, I mean, there's legit concern, as you'd expect, given the speculation of high ankle, that he's going to be a non-factor. That's even fair, other than the power play, as though identified in the hit. Or that he can stay in the series because he's clearly dealing with something. He says he's fine. Kenny Holland was on radio in Edmonton saying that everybody's playing. There's no issues with him, Nuge, anyone else. But, man, that's a big hole. You're right, if he can't finish.
Oh, it's massive.
Thing is he's a horse. Absolute horse. Like, there's that injury, it never got enough play.
Because they won the series, I think.
No, but think about this.
Did he get injured when the guy pulled him down?
Yeah. Yes, Mikey Anderson pulls him down. He bends his ankle back. Yeah. If that was Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner, riots because of like star players getting injured in scrums.
Yeah,
but because he's this like big mutant, like he's a strong guy, and he like shook it off. And I don't know what they're doing. I was asking guys. I don't know if you guys have had high ankle sprains, it's like you're better off breaking your ankle.
Yeah.
The amount of pain and all of that. Like, I asked Strutty because he told me he had a couple. He said you could put it almost in like a cast. Like, you could basically, and it'll just be pain tolerance. So he's not going to have mobility, and it's just going to be grinding it through. Like, I was shocked. I mean, I know it was game 7, but he played 18 minutes and had an unbelievable, couple unbelievable plays, but. I like other That's players trouble, wouldn't be man. Playing flat out wouldn't be playing.
Well, and the way Calgary operates, they're going to be going at him. They'd be going at him anyway. But
for sure,
now
for
sure. Yeah, absolutely, you know he's hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right? But you know he's hurt.
That's tough. Really
tough. Darren Dreger in studio. So what's up with Barry Trotz? Like, he was in Winnipeg.
Yeah. No, he was in Nashville.
He was in Nashville, but yeah. Winnipeg met with him?
Shevel Dayoff was in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty good fit, I would think. Like, if you're the Jets.
Oh, well, I thought the visit to Nashville for Chevy. You know, that's an excellent place to stop by.
Pretty good.
It makes a lot of sense, other than the fact that, you know, Barry Trotz is probably going to have the pick of the litter if he wants to continue coaching. Not suggesting he won't. You've got Pete DeBoer now available. There are some who believe that Pete may take his time and make sure that he's looked at the right fit. You know, the Manitoba draw is there. You know, that's the home for Barry Trotz. His dad is still going in Dauphin, Manitoba, not that far from Winnipeg. So, yeah, there's some family reasons, but it has to be the right coaching fit too, right? So I think that the meeting between Shevel Dayoff and Barry Trotz was informal. I don't believe that, you know, there was the old envelope with here's the offer, take it home and let's have a look at it. So and in saying that, maybe it elevates to that level, maybe that is the next step, but I think Barry also wants some time to see what else surfaces.
With the amount of power the players have nowadays, Dregs, do you think that they're in the know of what's going on as far as a future coach, or is it really?
I do. Like, I'm not going to name names of coaches, but I know a team that recently fired their coach. You know, the players are calling players on other teams to say, hey, what was this guy like? Because there's some speculation he might be a fit here. What was that guy like?
Wow.
Right? So, I mean, maybe that's not the point you're making. You know, do I think that...
It's just a big move, because when you don't have success and you got to get things going, especially a team like Winnipeg, and you can throw Vegas in there too, you've got to get everybody on the right foot. And if you bring in a new coach and all the players are pissed at it, you're screwed.
Don't you think Winnipeg would be the best fit for Barry Trotz? A team that can't defend? Like, they can't defend. They've got really good teams.
Yeah. And
they're
really one of the best goalies in the world.
You got really good players.
Yeah.
Barry Trotz took the Islanders in one calendar year from, I believe, last place in goals against to first or second. Like, so that if the Winnipeg Jets played with structure, now they might have to tweak, because, you know, Scheifele, whatever's going to happen with him, he's not interested in playing a defensive tight system. He goes out there and plays. He's a very talented player, but I think there's a couple guys on that team that Chevy might have to do some work with. But Barry Trotz, if he had a system in place with that roster, be a really good team.
Oh, I agree with you. And there's always this misconception, because he's labeled as a defensive coach, that he's incapable of working with.
Right.
He coached the greatest goal scorer of all time into a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Like, Alex Ovechkin wasn't scoring 25 because Trotz was behind the bench.
Yeah, it's not like a buzzkill where it's like, this is no fun playing this way.
Yeah. Like, by all counts, he's a player's coach. Yeah. Like, he's not an awful guy to be around. He holds you accountable.
You also have the Manitoba connection in Vegas, too, right?
Right.
I mean, Kelly McCrimmon and Barry Trotz. The issue that I think Winnipeg would have, even though Trotz seems like he'd be the perfect fit, and I know Winnipeg would love to have him, is the price tag, right? I mean, he's got one more year left on his deal with the New York Islanders, and it's not as simple.
At five?
$4 million, I think, U.S., right? So that's big dollars, you know, in Winnipeg. Big, big dollars. I don't know that.
Darren, they got to play ball, though, man.
I have not argued.
Don't they have the richest Canadian?
David Thompson?
Like, he's literally the richest person in the country. I've never understood that. Why? Like, I get it's a smaller market, but he's not he's incapable of stroking a check. And
he's more than capable, and so is Mark Chipman and the Chipman family.
Right.
They got to get to that place, and maybe they do with Barry Trotz, provided Barry Trotz sees the fit. But, you know, again, let's assume if Vegas has some interest in Barry Trotz, are you looking at the roster in Las Vegas and saying, well, I like that
fit
better than the one? And, all kidding aside, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Manitoba and on the prairies. Like,
Vegas is a good spot.
You know,
well, pretty good spot.
It's market. You've got to pay a premium. I've said this, and it's not disrespectful. I grew up in Edmonton. There are certain markets you have to. It's almost like the market tax.
They've said
it's Winnipeg.
They've said in the past some teams would fire their coach. Could a coach quit for the Vegas job?
That'd be great, though, wouldn't it?
I'm resigning as the coach
because
I want to go to Vegas.
Well, it's a funny thought, but people don't realize just the structure of the contract that goes along with that. So you could quit, but you're still under contract.
No, I was just kidding.
No, I know you are, but even the Boudreau thing in Vancouver, people thought that he could actually shop his services until June 1st, then he had to decide whether he's coming. No, you know, if you're a team with interest, you'd have to call the New York Islanders to get permission to talk to Barry Trotz, or in Gabby's situation, they would have had to have gone through.
You
Vancouver.
Know what I find crazy? Coaches should be allowed, like when they're under contract, the other team just picks up the money. They should be allowed to double dip like a player when they get bought out.
Yeah,
you get fired. Like, it's just like, I want to re-sign and double dip and make money from a new team. I think that's a joke.
I think they used to years ago. Yeah, I think Mike Keenan made a lot of money doing that back in the day.
That'd be great. Just get fired every year.
I think Keenan at one point was being paid by like three organizations. I swear to God. It was like Vancouver and Maya from the Rangers or something like that. And it happens. I mean, Torts would be in that wheelhouse too.
Torts is still out there too. His name doesn't come up much now, but why wouldn't it?
About it. We talked about the, you know, the guys who are either have to do the redemption tour or even be allowed by the league, whether it's Quinville, you know, Babcock in a sense. I mean, Babcock hasn't been, you know, anything, but like those guys are out there.
Yeah, and you have to negotiate that too, right?
Right.
So again, if we use the $4 million on Barry Trotz, if Winnipeg has interest, it's not like they absolutely have to absorb that $4 million. Like, that's a conversation that you have.
But Trotsky's going to say, I'm not going for 1 year. You better give me a 4 or 5 years.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, be deserving of that. He's a great coach. Well, we'll see.
There's some good fits for some of these coaches out
there. Oh, yeah. Like, there's some good names out there.
There are.
Right? Yeah. And then, the Islanders, they just promoted the assistant coach, I guess.
He was known. Lane Lambert was known as
best hair in the league immediately behind
the bench. Tremendous flow.
Behind who?
Behind the bench. Oh, behind
Jack Capp.
Jack Capp, you want him.
Yeah.
But I think Barry Trotz gave a high recommendation to Lou as a parting gift to say, hey, if you're considering hiring internally here, this guy is more than ready.
Yeah. Well, I got the gig.
Yeah, I thought, and I don't know if it was reported or whatever, that Trotz was going to take some time and maybe even look at senior management.
Yeah, that's what I was told as well. Yeah.
In my mind, I thought, working with Lou, Lou's not a young guy, you know, at some point. And I know his son's there, and like his son will probably take over. But I thought maybe Trotz goes up, Lambert just goes over. That was kind of what I was assuming.
Right. Like the Celtics, like that's what Brad Stevens went from coach to GM.
Yeah, you just go up. But like Trotz would be a highly coveted coach, and should be.
Be a great get if it's in Winnipeg, for sure.
I agree.
All right, Dregs, enjoy the Battle of Alberta. Games tonight. We'll see you again soon. There's Darren Dreger at TSN Hockey Insider.